Good morning. This is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. The Senate today is scheduled to take the first of two critical votes on money to build and base 21 more MX missiles. The issue is so important that Vice President Bush will be standing by to cast a tiebreaker vote, and President Reagan will lunch with Republican leaders as part of a last-minute full-court press. We have two reports. First, Phil Jones on Capitol Hill.
Armed Services Committee Chairman Barry Goldwater, who earlier in the year expressed some reservation about MX, now thinks it will survive. Why?
I got the word across to the president that he better get off his rear end and go to work because he didn't have the votes. And when he heard what I had said, he got off and started working, and now we have the votes.
MX proponents like Senator Thurmond are arguing that the MX is needed as a bargaining chip in the Geneva arms talks.
This puts a weapon in his hands to help to get that arm reduction.
But that argument isn't washing with many, including some Republicans. Pressler of South Dakota.
Through this whole discussion, I wondered what the MX is a bargaining chip for, because the Russians haven't offered to bargain anything for it.
The last-minute lobbying will be intensified today, with the president set to come to the Hill at noontime to meet with Senate Republicans. He wanted to meet with Democratic leader Byrd, but Byrd, not interested in presidential arm-twisting, has refused to meet with Mr. Reagan. The vote is expected to be close, but Majority Leader Dole says he is confident that the MX will survive in the Senate. If it does, the House will vote on MX funding next week. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
This is John Ferrugia at the White House. To break loose funding for 21 MX missiles, President Reagan has launched a three-pronged offensive. First, he has signaled Congress and the American people that he's now willing to meet the new Soviet leadership and talk about the arms race. An invitation for a summit was delivered by Vice President George Bush last week. But with this soft sell comes a kicker. The White House has put Republicans on notice that if they don't support Mr. Reagan's budget, the MX included, the president might not campaign for their re-election in 1986, said one senior Reagan aide, "We'll help our friends first." Mr. Reagan is also playing on political guilt feelings, especially those of Democrats. With nuclear arms talks underway in Geneva, he argues that rejection of the MX will send the Soviets the wrong message, hurting the American position and jeopardizing any chance of real arms reduction. During his re-election campaign, the president accused the Democrats of being soft on defense, a label they're now trying to shed. Mr. Reagan's betting they won't take a chance on undercutting U.S. negotiators. John Ferrugia, CBS News, the White House.
The nuclear talks resumed in Geneva this morning under a cloud. Over the weekend, the chief Soviet negotiator accused the U.S. of backing away from a promise to put space weapons on the table at Geneva. Secretary of State Shultz responded by accusing the Soviets of breaching the agreed confidentiality of the negotiations. Today's session is the first since Belgium announced it would go ahead with the deployment of American-made cruise missiles. The deployment of new NATO missiles in Europe prompted the Soviets to walk out of the previous arms talks in 1983. Ohio lawmakers will try again today to unlock the doors at dozens of savings and loans that were shut last Friday to halt a run by nervous depositors. Dave Carwile of WCOL Columbus reports.
A move to reopen Ohio's privately insured savings and loan associations failed in the early morning hours as Democrats and Republicans in the state Senate allowed partisan politics to block approval of a bailout plan. The Republicans revised a House pass measure requiring the 71 institutions to apply for federal insurance while meeting a set of state standards before being allowed to reopen. But Democrats charged it left too much discretion to the state and refused to support it. Senate President Paul Gilmore is not optimistic.
Right now the bill's dead unless the governor wants to see if he can line up some Democrat votes for the bill.
Republican Senator Richard Finan says without state controls in place, there will be a run on the institutions tomorrow morning, and some will fail.
This is not going to go away. The savings and loans are closed until Wednesday morning by executive order. The governor now has a decision to make in this situation. What does he do from here on out?
The General Assembly will meet again late this morning, but there's no telling whether it will be able to restore the confidence of Ohio savers. Dave Carwile for CBS News, Columbus.
The bank panic was touched off by the failure of Home State Savings Bank of Cincinnati. Some of the depositors who ran to the bank Friday to find their funds tied up rallied in Dayton last night to consider a cavalcade to Columbus to put pressure on the state legislature.
Right. We'll put right up in front of the state house.
Like the
and we will have our voices heard.
That's what the farmers did, I think.
That's right. Now, what other alternatives do we do? Everyone is saying sit back and wait. You know what? It upsets me. Yeah. I trusted the governor. I trust the bank. You know, you go to a bank, there's carpeting, there's a teller. Everything appears to be up in the up and up. Yeah, I feel like a woman that's been raped. I really do.
And you have been.
And the only way I can think that we can get out of this is to get ourselves together, get in the automobiles, head on up.
Let's go tomorrow.
I'm off tomorrow.
The $3.5 billion takeover of ABC by the smaller broadcasting company, Capital Cities, is not expected to have an immediately noticeable impact on ABC television programming. But at least one expert says it could have a profound impact on the broadcasting business. Don West is managing editor of Broadcasting Magazine.
Yesterday morning, we all came to work thinking that ABC, NBC, and CBS were immutable, and they were among the eternal verities of our life. Now we suddenly realize that within 24 hours, all that can change. And once you set into motion the idea of change, I think it will have enormous effects over the rest of the industry.
CBS has been the source of takeover speculation recently, but while CBS stock rose 6 points yesterday, most analysts doubt a CBS takeover is possible. ABC rose more than 30 points yesterday. The hostilities continue unabated in the Persian Gulf border war between Iraq and Iran. Iran claims to have hit Baghdad with a missile. Reports from the Iraqi capital describe a huge explosion, the fourth there in 5 days. Iraqi warplanes reportedly raided residential targets in Iran. The government says new housing construction fell 11% in February. A big drop in apartment building was the main reason for the setback, the sharpest in almost a year. Results of the second vote by striking West Coast television and motion picture scriptwriters on a proposed contract with producers are expected later this morning. The writers packed the Hollywood Palladium last night to cast ballots on a settlement they rejected last week.
I just don't know what's going to happen. Most people I know, it's an even split.
I'd like to see us not strike and accept the contract, not because I think it's a great contract, but I don't think we'll do any better without a long, hard fight.
I want to accept the contract. I want to work. I need to work. Most of these people do.
The chief issue in the dispute is how the writers will share in profits from video cassette sales. The strike has forced some shows into reruns. Today is the deadline for a Mexican judge to decide whether 7 suspects should be put on trial in the kidnap killing of U.S. drug agent Enrique Camarena. 6 of those suspects are Mexican police officers. 1 is a former policeman. The time now is 10 minutes after the hour.